Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we are beginning our summer sermon series on the book of Proverbs. And so each week as we walk through this sermon series, in your What's Happening, there will be these half sheets of paper. And so if you could pull that out and find it for a moment. These are half sheets front and back. On the front side of each one of these sheets each week will be a mini devotional thought that helps center what the sermon itself will be about, the topic in Proverbs that we'll be looking at that day. On the back side, there is some room for notes. If you'd like to take notes, you can use that space there. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of room, so if you take more notes, bring something larger. But then right above that, there is a take-home portion for this. And so my encouragement for you as we walk through the sermon series in Proverbs this summer is that you would take these home with you, and sometime during the week afterwards, you would look through these questions and discuss them with your family, with your spouse, or just kind of use them as a devotional thought for the day as you're going through your week. So these we'll be going through each week as we study the book of Proverbs. So to begin, this week is a discussion on wisdom in general and folly as wisdom's opposite. So imagine, you know, later today you're at home and you begin having a fight with your brother or sister. They're accusing you of doing something that you didn't do. How do you react? Or imagine you're at the doctor later this week, you're complaining and explaining about this pain that you've got in your back when your doctor asks, well, how long have you been experiencing that? And you pause before you answer, because you know that if you tell them that the pain predates the time that you had insurance coverage, you might be on the hook for it yourself. What do you do? Or say this week you're on your smartphone or you're surfing the internet and an ad pops up, you know, one of those ever-present ads, but this one's got a picture of a scantily clad woman on it. Do you click on it? Or do you close it out? See, these are the kind of decisions that we make and are faced, that we're faced with each and every day. And it's this pull between wisdom on the one hand and folly on the other. King Solomon, as he writes much of the book of Proverbs, as he writes this, he envisions this battle between wisdom and folly as this tug of war for his son's attention between two women. On the one hand, Lady Wisdom pulling him in one direction, and on the other hand, Lady Folly pulling him in the other. So if you've got a Bible with you, either your own today, or if you've got a pew Bible near you, or you've got the Bible on your smartphone, take that out and turn to Proverbs chapter 9. In Proverbs chapter 9, it's in this chapter we see this depiction of wisdom and folly as these two women calling out to us. And we see their call really side by side. And you can see the distinction and the difference between these two. So in Proverbs chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, we hear the call of Lady Wisdom. So Wisdom has built her house. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat my bread and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight. I'll jump down to verse 13. We hear from the other lady, Lady Folly. The woman Folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. It's interesting as you read chapter 9 all at once and you see the two calls of these ladies. Their initial call is the same. Let him who is simple turn in here, they entreat to those who are passing by. The difference, though, is in the destination. To listen to Lady Wisdom, to follow her call, leads to life. To listen to Lady Folly, on the other hand, to heed her call, leads only to death and destruction. Our lives, our everyday lives, it's like we're inundated with this tidal wave of voices calling out to us in many different ways and from many different sources. We hear these calls as we're on our smartphones, surfing the internet, watching TV, listening to the radio, talking with our friends, our families, and our coworkers. And these voices are giving us tons and tons of advice on every aspect of our lives, whether that's on our marriages, on parenting, on food and drink, on work, on friendships. The struggle that all of us have each and every day is, to whose voice will you listen? Whose voice, whose call will you heed? And this is where the book of Proverbs comes in. Because God understands that we need more than simply rules for living. We also need wisdom. So that when things come our way on any given day, unexpected things, things we haven't planned for, where we have a choice to go one way or the other, we can use the wisdom that God has given us to make the God-pleasing choice. Now, wisdom itself is a gift from God. The Holy Spirit grants us wisdom. Like King Solomon, we can pray that God would give us his wisdom. And he does this for us through the book of Proverbs. One of my encouragements for you as we walk through the book of Proverbs this summer is that you would set aside time to read just one chapter of the book of Proverbs a day. Now, if you do that throughout the summer, you'll have read through the book of Proverbs at least 2.5 times by the end of it. But what you will also see is that in the book of Proverbs, God paints two very different pictures of how our lives can turn out. When we listen to Lady Folly, it's a devastating picture of the destruction that comes when we think that we have enough wisdom and knowledge ourselves to guide the course of our life. When we listen to Lady Wisdom, on the other hand, it's a beautiful picture of what our lives can look like when we humble ourselves before God, when we place ourselves at His feet to listen to the wisdom that He freely offers us. And that's why the proverb for today also serves as kind of the foundation for the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, if you've ever wondered, there really are two parts to this idea of what the fear of the Lord is like. And you see these two parts on display in the book of Proverbs as well. And the first part is the common everyday idea that we have when we think of fear as actual terror. There is a fear of the Lord that is actual fear. It's the understanding that God is God and we are not. It's understanding that God is almighty and we aren't. But there's another aspect to the fear of the Lord that moves beyond just our everyday conception of what fear is. And this is the idea of the fear of the Lord as awe and respect and reverence. And the incredible picture of God that we get as we see the fear of the Lord as both of those things is, yes, God is almighty. Yes, God is the one who sets the rules and the limits for this life. That would be terrifying if that were all that God was. But this other aspect of the fear of the Lord, it teaches us how God loves us. God looks out for us and has only our good in mind for us. And it's that voice that God speaks through the book of Proverbs and this Lady Wisdom, calling us out of our sin, calling us to follow Him in the life that He has prepared for us. Now, King Solomon was the one who wrote the majority of the book of Proverbs. And in his day, he was the wisest person to ever live. But in the history of the world, he wasn't the wisest. Because after his death, the Bible and God through the Bible began to speak of one who would come whose wisdom would surpass even that of King Solomon. We catch glimpses of this throughout the Old Testament, and Isaiah chapter 11 is one of those places where we get a prophecy of the one who is to come, whose wisdom would exceed that even of King Solomon. Now, Isaiah writes, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord." About 1,000 years after Solomon's death, Jesus was born into this world. And Jesus was the fulfillment of that promise in Isaiah's book. He was the one who is to come, who was greater than Solomon. At the age of 12, when his parents found him in the temple courts in Jerusalem, they came across this mind-blowing scene of their 12-year-old son sitting and talking and questioning with the religious leaders, the great men of faith of the day. And they saw how amazed these men were at the wisdom of their 12-year-old son. And after this, Jesus went back with his family, and he continued to grow in wisdom and understanding, so that by the time he began his public ministry as an adult, wisdom was one of the common features that when the crowds came and they heard Jesus speak, that they recognized right away. They saw in Jesus the wisdom of God. One of the most frequent ways that Jesus spoke and taught the crowds was in parables, which are really proverbs set in story form. And when Jesus described himself, as we heard last week in Pastor Mark's message, the people were demanding a sign. Jesus said, "No sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah, who was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish." And then he said, "Just as the queen of the south came from the ends of the earth to listen to the wisdom of Solomon, now one greater than Solomon is here." As you read through the book of Proverbs, it's like Jesus is taking you by the hand and teaching you the wisdom of God. And as you read through the book of Proverbs this summer, it's critically important that you understand when you do that and you read proverb after proverb, chock full of the wisdom and warning of God. When we encounter a book like Proverbs, it's not kind of a how-to manual, how to live your life in a way that you can please God or stay in his good graces or get on God's good side. It would be impossible for any of us to do that. Consider King Solomon, arguably the second wisest person to live, the man who wrote much of the book of Proverbs itself. As you heard last week in Pastor Mark's sermon, even his wisdom was not enough to stay in God's good graces alone. Later in life, Solomon fell from grace when he turned inward on himself and relied on his own wisdom and strength instead of the wisdom that God was supplying to him. And so, when we read the book of Proverbs, we understand that it's a book really written to children. Solomon wrote it in many ways to his sons, but for us as children of God, it's a book that God our Father writes to us. We are children of God by grace, not by anything we do, not by any amount of wisdom that we live our lives by. We're children of God only through what Jesus Christ has done. Jesus Christ came into this world and he lived a life of wisdom that none of us ever could. He went to the cross for our folly, for the foolish mistakes and the foolish decisions that we make, for the foolish words that we speak. And when he was raised, he gave us and won for us forgiveness of sins, yes, and eternal life. But more than that, he came giving us God's wisdom as well, wisdom for our life. So our hope and prayer as we walk through this sermon series this summer is that you would come to see and experience Jesus as the wisest person who ever lived. Our hope as we walk through this sermon series on Proverbs, as you read the book of Proverbs throughout this summer for yourself, is that as you hear these Proverbs and this wisdom from God, that the Holy Spirit would call out to you through them. That more and more, as you make your decisions each and every day, which way you will go and whose voice you will listen to, that more and more you hear and heed the voice of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God. Our final hope is that through this series, as that happens, as you begin to follow the voice of Lady Wisdom, that others would see that in you as well. That through you, through your decisions, through your actions, through your words, they would hear the voice of God calling to them as well. In Jesus' name, amen.